feel like I've been absolutely the luckiest, most fortunate guy in the world. Been incredibly blessed to have experienced what we have over the last 18 and a half years.
Well, I don't know who saw this one coming. Bob Stoops at his press conference last night as he steps down as the head football coach at Oklahoma. I didn't see it coming.
No. I got in the car, and after we kind of said our goodbyes yesterday, and I'm turning on, I'm like, what? Why are they talking about Bob Stoops? What's the – he what?
Yeah, that's exactly it. The story broke while we were breaking down everything over at the Kansas City State Company, and you get in the car, and Todd Lebo and Kevin Keatsman, of course, Lebo in talking about OU, were discussing it. I was like, whoa, Stoops. Like, whoa, wow. I did not see that coming. And so he is out as the head coach at Oklahoma, and this is a tight – not Titanic. Tectonic.
Tectonic shift.
That's what I was looking for. Tectonic shift in the landscape of college football when he steps away. However, the fact that it comes when it does and there's the next guy is ready to step in.
That's a little different. Usually, you'd
be looking at, okay, they're going to go hire the coach at Ole Miss.
Yeah. B goes to A, C goes to B, D goes to C, and everything's changed, but
That's not how this one's going to play out because they've already got the guy that's going to step in. Now,
that's a lot of trust. That's a big job to have to just pop in OU football.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley going to step in and be the guy now for the Sooners. 33 years old, getting the head coaching job. And we'll talk more about this with Blair Kirkhoff here in a minute. As he's going to join us, you know, where they go from here is, I mean, I know Lincoln Riley's got the job, but if he would go 6-6, I don't know that he's got the job still.
No. And if you think, well, they're up and running, anyone who's an Oklahoma fan knows that ain't true. Just think of John Blake. I mean, they were up and running. And they fell apart. They were a 3-win team at one point.
John Blake, Howard Schnellenberger. And, I think Schnellenberger might have been able to be successful, but he couldn't be successful with the people that he needed to work with.
Yeah.
I mean, they obviously grew tired of him very, very quickly. He irritated everybody around there, and people would use a word stronger than irritated. The job isn't just the coaching part. There's the politics part.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I'm not ready to just go, oh, Lincoln Riley steps in and here we go. I'm never a big fan of just keeping it in the family. Now, we've seen some great examples of that working. Tom Osborne was keeping it in the family from
Bob Devaney.
Bob Devaney. Barry Switzer was keeping it in the family, right? From Bud Wilkerson? Is he on Wilkerson's staff?
He was after Chuck Fairbanks. Okay. He was on Fairbanks' staff in the early 70s.
Okay. So, look, we've seen examples where it works.
But the two most obvious examples you cited took over their jobs in 1972 and 1973, respectively.
Gary Patterson at TCU took over for the Kansas guy from Kansas. I can't remember. Went to Alabama, and
I'm totally blanking on it.
What was his name? Coached at Pitt State, and
It ain't coming.
He's a bump up.
But at a place like
Brett
Bielema
was a bump up at Wisconsin.
You don't have to do that.
No, you don't have to. But at this time of the year, you do.
Yeah, that's true.
OU doesn't have a choice.
No, June 7th, there aren't any guys open. So that's a good point.
Or you go outside like Arkansas did when they ended up running Bobby Petrino, and you bring a guy, John Smith, who was just sitting there watching TV. That didn't work.
He isn't officially called interim head coach, but to me, Lincoln Riley is almost an interim head coach at Oklahoma.
We'll see.
He has to succeed to at a high level to keep that job, or at least show signs of a massive amount of success quite quickly.
Barry Trammell is with us, columnist for the The Oklahoman. Joins us here on our Sprint guest line. Barry, how are you?
I'm good. How's things in Kansas City?
Very good. How shocked were you with the announcement?
It's a bolt out of the blue. I knew it was coming someday, some year. I didn't think it was going to be this year or this day, but I was pretty stunned.
Yeah, and I think I might even have asked you last time we talked to you about Russell Westbrook's shenanigans. That might even have been one of my Final Fours. How long for Bob Stoops? Because I like to ask everybody that down in Oklahoma and get a feel for how long he's going to coach. You know, everybody says no health problems. You know, we still a day later, after some digging, feel like that there's nothing to it other than he decided the time was right.
Yeah, now I actually think that health could be a consideration in this. You know, his father died of a heart attack on the football field, Youngstown, Ohio high school coach, at the age of 54. Bob has told us that he has a heart issue that runs in his family. It's just a genetic thing that could lead to problems. He's always worried about that, always tried to take care of himself. I can see a doctor telling him in the last week or two, hey, you know, this is starting to show up. You better slow down. And Bob saying, well, that's a good sign for me to step down. I could see that happening. I don't know that, but that would make sense to me. I think the timing is he wanted to hand the program off when it was at a high level, which it is. There have been times when in his tenure when they've taken a little bit of a dip, go into a season with a little bit of questions. That's not this year. They should have a really good team. They got a great quarterback, picked to win the Big 12 again. So he wanted to hand it off when things were at a high level. So I think that's why he chose to do it now. If this was a rebuilding situation, I think he'd probably still be the coach.
Do you think he is done coaching? A lot of people speculate that he'll take a little time off, decompress, and then maybe finally seriously entertain some of the pro offers he's been given.
My guess is he has coached his last game. I actually asked him about the NFL. He dismissed that yesterday fairly provocatively. He generally doesn't. Even when he's a coach at Oklahoma, he said, yeah, you never know about anything. He doesn't want to give you much either way. Yesterday, he was pretty dismissive of an NFL career. Said he really doesn't know anyone there, doesn't have any ties there. He thought that would be very unlikely. And you know, if this medical thing is anything, then he wouldn't want to coach anywhere else. He sort of jokingly said he see himself coaching middle school basketball at the end of it.
Okay. Just kind of a little sidebar there when you say that, you know, he wouldn't dismiss it as quickly when he was the coach. That does kind of speak to a guy understanding that, you know, to get a raise at that level, you need leverage, and NFL offers are leverage, right?
Yeah, although that was never the deal with Stoops was held in high regard by the administration because of the way of a lot of things, but his contract negotiations and his raises and all that. He never asked him for more money. He never put pressure on him. He never said, hey, you know, the Cleveland Browns have called. He never did that. Some other coaches did, and it angered the administration because Bob Stoops wasn't doing it, and here he is, you know, one of the best coaches in America, and you had some people in other sports doing it. So I don't think that was the case. I think Stoops was just he's sort of a pragmatic. He didn't want to lie, but he didn't want to give you much, but he didn't want to lie about it either, and he didn't want to say he wasn't interested, and then 2 years later become the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. So,
right.
I think he was just trying to be as pragmatic as he could.
I'm just interested in this. Do you know what NFL teams have reached out to him over the years, and if any of the other colleges have as well?
The ones I know for sure, Cleveland Browns, definitely. Florida twice, University of Florida, and Notre Dame.
Okay.
Those are the three that were really serious.
Okay.
I don't think Ohio State, but that one was possible too because it's come open twice, especially in, what would have been 2000, I think, with Jim Tressel. So maybe not Ohio State in 2000, but those three I know, Cleveland Browns, Florida, Notre Dame.
We're talking right now to Barry Trammell, columnist for the Oklahoman. Tell me, is Lincoln Riley his choice? Is it the university's choice? Has it been known all along he was kind of the guy to go to, or was that a surprise?
No, that was no surprise. That was I think Stoops recognized that Lincoln is the right choice, but the university administration recognized it long ago. Stoops hired him in January of 2015, and before he ever coached a game, I had some high-ranking officials say, "Hey, this guy's the real deal. This guy's on our radar as a possible successor when Bob decides to step down." And then the football started, and his offenses were great, and you thought, "Hey, this guy knows what he's doing coaching-wise." It's become clear over the last 2 years that Lincoln Riley was going to be the successor. I didn't have any doubt about that. I wrote about it twice. The only thing that could upset that was if Stoops coached a long time, if he's coached another 5, 6, 7 years, and Lincoln got a really good job offer, if Texas A&M or Arizona State or someplace that you could really win offered him a job, he might go, and then it becomes a little murkier. But otherwise, it was always going to be Lincoln Riley succeeding Bob Stoops.
Is Riley's are his offenses great, or does Baker Mayfield scramble around and take plays that have gone to hell and turn them into big gains?
Well, now you're going and it's upsetting everybody's idealism world. That's an excellent question. What if Baker Mayfield stays at Texas Tech? Is Lincoln Riley's offense as good as it appears to be? Trevor Knight would not have gotten the same results, I can tell you that. So Baker Mayfield's a difference maker. So it's a wonderful question. We're going to find out, not this year, but we'll probably find out next year. That's one thing about Stoops. He's never really involved much with the offense, but one thing you can say about him is he kept churning out great offenses no matter who his coordinator or his quarterback was. So that's now Lincoln Riley's responsibility. But life will change when Baker Mayfield's not the quarterback because you make a point. The offense, just because it's successful, doesn't mean the offense was good. It might have been because Mayfield's running around playing Pac-Man with the defense.
Yeah. One last point. So the timing of it now is not ideal. I mean, you wouldn't think. It does, because it's now, does we just have to conclude that there had to have been some kind of health thing, right? Or is he the kind of guy that would just wake up and it was time to get back calling recruits or doing whatever, and he just went, you know what, don't got it?
I actually think that early June is actually a pretty good time to do it.
Okay.
We've become so conditioned coaches leaving in early December, getting fired in late November, leaving for other jobs in early December. We become conditioned to that's the way it ought to be. Well, that's the norm, but that's not the way it ought to be.
Great point.
The whole season ought to be complete. We shouldn't be changing coaches right in the middle of recruiting season. Ideally, you would do it in a downtime, in a true off season. Hard to find that in college football anymore. But this strikes me as a pretty good time. If you Stoops said yesterday there's really no good time with the cyclical, the new cycle of calendar in college football. But Stoops said, when is a good time? I actually think June's not a bad time at all. I think we'd be better off as a sport if more guys did change. You know, in football, who your head coach is important. It's not as important as, say, basketball. Basketball coach gets fired or switches jobs, half the roster's talking about leaving, and the recruits all want out of their letters, and guys are flipping their commitments. That's not as prevalent in football. Your position coach is often as important as your head coach, and in this case, everybody's position coach literally is going to stay the same. So I actually think it was about as good of a time to do it as it could be.
Has there been any talk? I mean, is Riley going to keep calling the plays and everything?
He said he would keep calling the plays. What's interesting to me is, will he keep coaching the quarterbacks? That's a tough duty. He's young. He can do it maybe. I don't know that that's a long-term solution. But he comes from originally from a system where the head coach did that, Mike Leach, to great success. So we'll see. He'll actually have two by the end of this season, he'll have two job openings because the NCAA added a, you could add a coaching staff member. So he's got two decisions to make. I don't know which way he'll go, but he said yesterday that he would continue to run the offense.
Okay. Mike Stoops. You know, a lot of people would have said, how come not Mike Stoops? Is this going to be his last year and he heads off? Or, no, is he secure with where he's at?
It's a wonderful question. I talked to Mike yesterday. He was very complimentary and optimistic in his remarks about Lincoln Riley. But you have to wonder, there was a time when he was the golden assistant. He was the heir apparent. If his brother took the Cleveland Browns, Mike Stoops would just take over. That was sort of the common thought. Eventually, he went to Arizona as head coach, had some good times, eventually was fired. That's what happens to every Arizona coach. back now, running the defense, and he's had his up and downs. There was, you know, from a PR standpoint, you could not have hired Mike Stoops. He's not his brother. He's a little more volatile of a personality. He's not, you know, just sort of the total package that Bob is. Plus, his defenses haven't performed to people's expectations the last few years. So it's a great question. I think, you know, he's well paid. He's paid over $1 million as a defensive coordinator. He's got a chance to win big, but you wonder how long he is for this job. I don't know the answer, and probably no one knows the answer. Probably Mike Stoops doesn't know the answer. But it is a great situation to keep an eye on.
All right, last question for you, and that is David Boren was quoted again. You know, people are taking things he said and said, oh, look, Oklahoma's looking to move around. That fueled with what's his name at ESPN, the bald guy who does the show. It's always claiming that OU's trying to leave.
Oh, Scott Van Pelt?
No, not Van Pelt. Good. Another bald guy. No, the older bald guy, SEC lover.
Paul Feinbaum.
Yeah, he not long ago he was spouting around about how OU's ready to go. Look, it's not a loaded question. I mean, I think everybody's going to take a look around when we get towards the end, maybe the last year or two of that TV deal in 24-25 range. But do you, and we don't need to spend any time on it if you don't think there's anything there, do you think there's anything to OU looking around right now or no? Is everything on hold till we get towards the end of this current TV deal?
OU is always looking around, but that doesn't mean they're looking to leave. That's really where Paul Feinbaum got all wet.
Okay.
OU wants the Big 12 to succeed. That's what OU's desire is. That's what Bob Stoops wanted. That's what Joe Castiglione wants. That's what the majority of the coaches want. They want the Big 12 to succeed, and they think it can. They just need some stability, and I realize that part of the instability is caused by OU always talking about this kind of stuff.
Right.
But the truth is, the best scenario for Oklahoma is if the Big 12 succeeds. That's their best path to athletic success, to a quality of life issue, going into a conference meeting room where you have friends and colleagues that you know, and go join the SEC, and you're walking into a den of vipers that you don't have a bunch of alliances that really just stab you in the back. That's not what they want. The only thing that might entice Oklahoma away from a solid Big 12 would be a Big 10 offer. That would be a game changer academically. That would be something they would have to consider. But they would love to see the Big 12 to succeed and want it to thrive.
The Oklahoman columnist, Barry Trammell, is with us here on our Sprint guest line. It's time for our Final Four, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Be the eighth caller and win $30 in Bass Pro Shop instant tickets from the Kansas Lottery. You can win up to $25,000 instantly. See KSLottery.com for detail. All right, just four quickies for you. It's some of the first thing that pops into your mind. Do you hate Kevin Durant?
No.
No. Okay, good.
Hate what he did, but don't hate him.
Very good. How many wins for OU this year?
I'll go 11.
11, okay.
I'm going to go 12. I'll go 12. We got a title game in the league now, right?
Yeah.
They're going to play 14 games. I'll go 12.
Okay, 12. All right, and rank the top three head coaches in OU history. 1, 2, 3. How would you rank them?
Wilkinson, Switzer, Stoops. You got to give Bud credit for getting it all started.
Okay, I like that. And finally, and maybe most importantly, a photo that was everywhere on Twitter was out there. And because there are such tornadic activity here in Kansas, but in Missouri, but also down in Oklahoma, would you mow your lawn during a tornado?
No, I'm not too partial about mowing my lawn on a nice sunny day. So I would not. And let me tell you one thing: if I had an interest in doing it, my wife would hit me in the head with a hammer and drag me inside, and that would be the end of it. So,
okay, good. So no. Good to know. There was a guy who did it. There's a great photo. He's mowing his yard, and there's a tornado in the background. He said he was keeping his eye on it, though, so that was good. We had that going for us. Barry, great stuff as always, buddy. I always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again down the road.
Okay, see you later.
All right, Barry Trammell does a great job. Columnist for the Oklahoman. We'll see what Blair Kirkhoff has to say. He's coming up next from the Kansas City Star. You're in the program.